Hello everybody, I'm George Abad, and thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the failure of talks between Iran and the United States. Now, I thought they're going to fail, but they failed a bit sooner than I thought. They were even worse than I thought. But Donald Trump, in his stupidity, seemed to think that they could sort out 47 years of terrible relations like in one day. You see how just completely over, overambitious he is, how he always overpromises, underdelivers, how insanely optimistic he is, and then he just doesn't learn from his failures. I think we're going to do something different, and he's obviously he excessively reacts to his successes. I mean, his situation in Venezuela hasn't really changed things, but he thought, well, if you just take out Ali Khamenei, that then that'll it'll all fall into my lap. Well, it didn't. Surprise, surprise. But why did the experts not allow him to tell him this? Presumably, he actually doesn't seek advice. If you give him unwelcome advice, you're dismissed. And that's what a petulant child he is. Just because something's unattractive doesn't make it untrue. He's got no objectivity or indeed maturity. So Pakistan, they hosted the talks in Islamabad, their capital. Remember, Pakistan has a complicated relationship with Pakistan, with Iran, their neighbor, a fellow Muslim country. The Iranians are 90% Shia. The Pakistani is about 80% Sunni and so on. But, you know, Pakistan has some cultural affinity for Iran, and the Persian language, that's infused in Urdu, the official language of Pakistan, and so forth. And not all Pakistani Sunnis are anti-Shia by any means, an important trade relationship. And yet Pakistan's an ally of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a deadly foe of Iran. And there was talk that if Iran were ever to get a nuclear weapon, the Pakistanis would simply sell one to the Saudi Arabians. Pakistan is obviously a less economically developed country. Saudi Arabia is rich. They really rely on Saudi Arabian largesse, not just Pakistanis working there, remitting money, but also simply aid, which they really need in difficult economic circumstances. So it was very much in Pakistan's interest that this be resolved, and then that they could get oil and gas at a reasonable price, because they are hurting. Iran's got a good relationship with China, so does Pakistan. Yet another reason for Pakistan to want to be a venue for these talks. Pakistan, which was like a sort of a swear word in the USA until recently, found itself to be actually fairly useful. So, and anyway, the Iranian delegation requested that Vice President J.D. Vance fly in. They didn't want to deal with Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, the property wheeler dealer, who's an ultra-Zionist. They didn't want to deal with Steve Witkoff, who knows nothing about Iran or Ukraine and is just viciously anti-Muslim. Okay, so, you know, they both had their plans, a 15-point peace plan, a 10-point peace plan, seems near the twain shall meet. They start off very far apart. So you couldn't resolve all the issues. Let's say, well, what can we resolve? The easiest thing is we're not going to fire at each other, no drones, no missiles. Anyway, that largely worked, largely, not completely. But the Iranians say, well, partly because Lebanon is part of this. The Israelis saying, no, no, no. I mean, Israel, which actually started the whole thing, which got the USA into it, obviously got a blame for the United States government. The US president didn't have to go along with what Israel wanted, but he did. He could have listened to his other allies, the Gulf Arab countries, who were pleading him not to do this. And in the January, they successfully dissuaded him from such attack until, you know, Netanyahu bent Trump's ear. Okay, the Strait of Hormuz, and Trump has proven yet again how fundamentally thick he is. He said, now we're going to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Wait a second, your whole idea is that you want to stop the blockade. Blockade is the opposite. You want free flow there. And so the Iranian blockade of the Strait of Hormuz was supposed to end, and they've actually only allowed some ships through. Now, they might say, you know, they'll say like six a day, down to rather than none on some days. They do allow ships of fairly friendly nations like China and India through. Okay, so there's an enormous degree of distrust. There's a huge gulf between the two sides. No, and I don't mean the Persian Gulf. So there they met. And the Iranians saying, we have the right to a civilian nuclear energy program. We've signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and that enshrines the right to civilian nuclear energy and the medical uses for it as well. And the Americans are trying to say, no, you don't have that right. But, you know, the USA has got nuclear weapons and civilian nuclear energy. Why can Iran not have even nuclear energy? And the Israelis are trying to say that Iran doesn't have the right to nuclear energy. Who on earth are they to dictate this? The state of Israel has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They've got no leg to stand on to lecture the Iranians about not having civilian nuclear energy and so on. Israel, which doesn't even tell the truth about being a nuclear weapon state. Anyway, so J.D. Vance flew out after a couple of days saying they'd already made their best and final offer. So the question is, are they going to escalate or not? I mean, Pakistan tried to play the honest broker between the two sides. J.D. Vance stayed in constant contact with President Trump and so on, and so on. So he, J.D. Vance said that the primary objective from the viewpoint of the USA was to ensure that Iran was not seeking a nuclear weapon. But they already knew that. In 2017, they got there through painstaking negotiations, almost 5 years of negotiations with the United States, the European Union, Russia, some of the EU's member states like Germany and the UK. UK was in the European Union at the time. They'd agreed that. It was certain it was never going to happen. Iran agreed to incredibly intrusive inspections by the International Atomic Energy Authority. The US Congress voted several times to renew the deal. President Obama voted to extend it. President Trump himself extended it and so on. And in return, the sanctions were lifted. Iran was enriching only a very small amount of uranium. And that was it. And everybody was happy, except the Israelis, who had to try and ruin the whole thing again. So anyway, the Iranians, they'd offered painful concessions over the past couple of days that were going to reduce how much enriched uranium they had. It would only be enriched to 60% and so on. And they pointed out they are entitled to enrich their uranium and so on. And they're not willing to give up their enriched uranium stockpile completely. But why is the enriched uranium such a problem? When President Trump himself said it's beyond use, it's trapped under tons of rubble and so on. So Iran is not completely open the Straits of Hormuz, partly because they found this choke point. If they hadn't blocked the Straits of Hormuz, they wouldn't have even got the Americans to talk. Because militarily, okay, they're no match for the USA at sea. Most Iranian Navy men sent to Davy Jones. They're no match for the US Air Force in the air. Their airframes are like half a century old. And so some of those have been destroyed. Their air defense is almost useless. They've shot down, is it two American planes? And so on. So their military is not well equipped, but it is large. And that's why the Americans really don't want to do a ground invasion. Okay, they might steal Kharg Island, but that's probably about as far as it goes. And they know that the Americans are very risk averse, will not tolerate significant casualties. So both sides seem to think that they were on a winning streak. But, you know, I suppose the upper hand remains with Iran. So the Americans tried to intimidate the Iranians, seem to be semi-successful, and so on. So you need to understand, what does the enemy seek? What is his bottom line? What will make them what make them walk away? What's the least they're willing to accept and so on, to get as much as what you can get? Giving away as little as you have to. And so the Iranians, why should they give up their civilian nuclear weapons program? What are you going to give them in return? You're going to give them the money. You're going to unfreeze their assets, about $120 billion. You're going to lift all sanctions immediately. That's another issue. You could lift sanctions, but gradually. Lift sanctions on oil, but not on gas. Lift sanctions on, you know, spare parts for civilian airliners, but not lift sanctions on computers, for instance. Or, you know, you could lift sanctions, you know, somehow gradually, a certain percentage over years. It could be conditional. The conditionality being adherence to whatever agreement and so forth. What guarantee would there be? Would it be enshrined in international law? What were the penalties for breach? Who would adjudge whether there had been a material breach and so forth? Okay, so they haven't reached agreement. So anyway, the Speaker of the Iranian Parliament was there, and the Iranian Foreign Ministry said the United States had made excessive demands and unlawful requests. And I'm afraid to say, I think he's right. So there was obviously a huge degree of distrust there. They say, you know, the United States has been our mortal enemy, has tried to overthrow our government. They made that illegal aim, their main war aim and so forth. They've killed, you know, thousands of Iranian civilians, including murdering 150 little girls. They're totally unapologetic about that. Anyway, so J.D. Vance suggested that the Iranians are just fooling around. We're trying to dupe the United States. They won't stand for this. So, I mean, there's going to be more military action. How much does it escalate is the question. And how long is the USA willing to keep going? There's no sign that the Iranians are giving in, that they have suffered badly. Their economy is hurting. They can hurt the world economy more. The world economy is pleading for it to end. But remember, the US Constitution, the president can have his troops fighting for 60 days abroad before a congressional vote. He's got 30 days to get them home. And would the US Congress vote to authorize further military action? I suspect not. Almost every Democrat would be against, and some of the Republicans would be against. So MAGA is restive. Americans are feeling the pain at the pump. And so that's what the Iranians are banking on. This is not going to go much further. Spain is quite sympathetic to Iran. So however detestable the domestic policy of the Iranian government, Iran's a sovereign state. And so Spain said, we're going to reopen an embassy there. There could be humanitarian aid. Are some countries, frankly, praying the Iranians to let their ships through? And that might be worth it, considering the price of oil. Maybe. And each country has the right to determine its own foreign policy. The Americans might say, no, that's a breach of sanctions. So what? You're allowed to trade with Iran. You don't have to follow a U.S. foreign policy. U.S. doesn't let other countries determine their policy for them. Anyway, I would that there was negotiation. Seems there was bad faith on the part of the United States. The demands were really unwarranted, grossly excessive, and offering very little in return. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, GeorgeCallan7@gmail.com. Stop the war.